This morning we're going to look in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read to you, I had posted to Sister Lisa that we was going to read verses 1 through 6 of Philippians chapter 1. I actually want to add one verse, which is verse 7. So I know that's going to kind of mess everybody up, but we're going to add one more verse. I was reading it this morning. And reading this particular passage again, many times I'll read it over and over. And I just thought it was needful to read verse 7 to kind of get an idea of what is taking place. But Philippians chapter 1, and we want to begin reading with verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God and God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you are all making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my hearts, insomuch as both in my bonds and in my defense, in confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. And the reason that I added verse 7 to our message this morning is just simply I wanted to point out the relationship that Paul had with this group of people. There was a great love. There was a great commitment. There was a great relationship to the point that he says, I have you in my hearts. And I believe that he was continually thinking about that relationship. And I think it's important for us to realize what we have when it comes to a true believer and a friend. That relationship and how that we can depend on others to pray for us and we can depend on others to pray for each other and having that common bond, which that common bond is Jesus Christ. And so I think it was important for me to make mention that he has them in their hearts. And there's a reason for his message here for the book of Philippians, but we want to look at a portion of it this morning. As our text verse is, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you that we can rejoice this morning of our future. And Lord, we know that we wouldn't even have a future if it wasn't for Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And Father, I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful that one day that you helped me to realize the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and caused me to realize that I needed Jesus. And Lord, what rejoicing we have this morning to know that our confidence needs to be in you. And so, Father, I pray if there's someone this morning that is struggling with life, struggling with whether they're saved or not, struggling with the things that's happening around us, Lord, I pray that each one would just simply put their confidence in Jesus. And Father, if there's someone that's watching this morning that is dealing with life's issues, Lord, I pray that you'll help them. We do thank you and praise you for the hope that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Being confident in the Lord. You know, confidence is an important thing. Confidence is an important thing in life as to, you know, you're demonstrating confidence this morning and you didn't even realize it. You're demonstrating that you have confidence in the pews that you're sitting in. You have confidence not only in the structure, but you also have confidence in the builder and you don't even know who they are. Or most likely you don't. But the point being is we need confidence in life. But what about when life's problems come? What about when difficulties come? What brings us real joy in life? What is real joy? Is it smiling all the time? You know, you can smile and not have a bit of joy. Now, I'd like you to smile, but smiling isn't what real joy is. Calvin understands real joy. Is it, what was that? Anybody else name here Joy? Is it life with no problems? Does that bring joy? That's fantasy. We don't have a life without problems. What is joy? Well, I believe that one contributor, and I think one of the most important contributors to real joy, is having confidence in the Lord. Because having confidence in the Lord, we can face many things. We can face many obstacles. We can face many challenges. We can face life itself if we have the right confidence, and we have that confidence in the right person, and that person is Jesus. I read a story this week that really touched my heart. And most of you have heard of J. Vernon McGee. And most of you even have some of you may even have some of his books and commentaries. But I read a story about him this week that, as I said, it touched my heart. He grew up very poor. And just like many did during the time period of his life. And he didn't have much. And his father died at the age of 14. His father worked with cotton. And there was a tragic accident that took place that took his life at 14. His mother decided to move to Tennessee to take her children with her. And moved to Nashville, Tennessee. And at the age of 14, he had to get a job. Many during that time, as they were young, were having to work. He had a desire to go to school. He had a desire and he wanted to go to school, but it just wasn't allowed because he had to help his mom, and things were very difficult back then. And so he would get up at 5 a.m. and he would go to work. And he would have to work, and he was had various jobs. He actually had to apply for this job at the age of 14 and get special permission to be able to work. And as I said before, he wanted to go to school but wasn't able to go because of the circumstances. But later on in life, with the help of a friend, he was able to go and even be able to go to college. From what I understand, he knew the Lord, but yet was still struggling. When he went to college, he was able to finish, but from year to year, he didn't know if he would be able to go because his friend helped support him in college. So he never knew if it would be over or not. He never knew when he started one year, you know, you start picking your classes for the next year, and he didn't know if he would be able to go. But things worked out, and he was able to finish school. And on his graduation day, he graduated. He didn't have a lot of family there. He didn't have a lot of people there that was there congratulating him. And he came back to the dorm room after graduation, and he sat there. And it was almost like he went into a deep depression. Now, you wouldn't think graduating school, you would go into a deep depression. But he, at that moment, he was struggling. He never thought God would see him through. He struggled with his faith. He struggled with life. And yes, he was facing depression. You see, this was during the Great Depression. And he couldn't find a job. And he had no money. And although he had an education now, and someone funded it, he was still very discouraged. A friend of his came into the dorm room, his roommate, and he looked at him and he said, "Why aren't you excited?" Because he too had graduated. He said, "Why aren't you excited?" He said, "What do I have to look forward to? With this diploma, what do I really have?" He was totally broke. While he was there with his friend, and his friend was trying to help him and trying to comfort him, the phone rang. And the caller was wanting to talk to him. And there was this lady, a widow lady, who had called him and said, "Can you come and see us?" Her and her sister that was living together, both were widows. And said, "Can you come and see us?" And he went. He had known them from the church that he was attending while he was in college, and he had met them, and he really didn't know what they thought of him because they just kind of looked at him most of the time, and they didn't know what their thoughts were. But they invited him to come over, and while he sat there with them, and I'm assuming they were in their living room, they handed him two envelopes. And they said, "We want you to have this." And it was in memory of their husbands who had passed away. And he didn't want to seem too eager, so he didn't open them until he had left. He thanked them. And he didn't want to seem too eager, so he left them. And after he said thank you and spent a little time with them, he stepped out. And as soon as he stepped out and got away from the view of them, if they would have been looking out the window, he opened up the envelopes, and the first envelope had $250. That's a lot of money, still is today. And then he opened the second envelope, and it was another $250. And then that night, his church that he had been attended was throwing him a college graduation dinner or event, and they had taken up money and they gave him $100. So he had $650, and that was just enough to start his first year in seminary. And he made mention, as I was reading this story, he made mention that this verse became his life verse. This verse became real to him that night. He had gone through school, he had gone through life, he had gone through these things, and he struggled. He struggled with his faith, he struggled with life, but this verse became real to him that night. And we know God used him in a mighty way. I read to you this verse again. It says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Before Paul got saved, he had a lot of confidence. He had a big ego. But he was depending upon religion. He was depending upon his education. He was depending upon his bloodline. He was depending on his abilities. But every one of those would fall short. His life changed, and his eyes were open when he met Jesus. And we know that is found in Acts chapter 9. His confidence was now in the one who changed his life. His confidence was now in the one who he realized could make a difference. You see, no longer was his confidence in himself. No longer was his confidence in things. No longer was his confidence in his surroundings. No wonder it was his confidence in his happenings, but his confidence was in Jesus Christ. Because all those things in life can change in a moment's notice. All those things that we look to, if we're not careful, all those things that we look to can change in a moment's notice. And therefore, we must have hope this morning. We must have the confidence in the right person, which is Jesus Christ. And the first point that I want to make this morning is confidence begins in salvation. Confidence begins in salvation. Jesus did more than anyone could ever do in Paul's life. And if we stop and be honest with ourselves, and just like the song that was just sung, we all are praising because of our future. We're praising because one day we'll see the Savior, Jesus Christ. One day because of what He's done. One day because of what was accomplished. And it had nothing to do with us except for believing. Believing. You see, Paul's life was changed. And I believe this, I think if folks, meaning myself included, I think if folks could only understand the magnitude of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, we would look things a little differently. If we understood the magnitude of just what was accomplished at the cross, just what was accomplished and the change that He makes in our lives. If we only understood, if we can understand the importance and the necessity of the empty tomb and the promise that was fulfilled. The promise that was fulfilled. You see, salvation is real. And we that are saved this morning are recipients of God's grace. God's mercy, God's love, God's patience, and all that God does for us. We're recipients of those. And no, we did nothing to earn it. We cannot make salvation any better. We cannot do anything to add to, nor can we do anything to take away. What we have in Jesus Christ is real, and that's what our confidence is in. If we're looking to anything else to bring us confidence, we're going to fall short. We're going to be disappointed. And we're going to struggle with life. It's all about what Jesus Christ has done. It's all about what they sang about this morning. It's all about who we have in our hearts, and that's Jesus. Every moment of the day, the 24-hour day period, until all eternity, He's with us through the Holy Spirit. You see, that's where our confidence is in. And I don't want to disappoint anybody, but if our confidence is in people, if our confidence is in leaders, if our confidence is the things that's happening around us, we're going to come up short. Because they're people. But our confidence this morning must be in Jesus Christ. And I believe that's the emphasis that Paul was giving to this group of believers, this group of people that he loved, that he had in his heart, and he wanted to tell them, put your confidence in Jesus. And that speaks well of Paul and his relationship and how he thought of this group of people. But you see, our confidence needs to grow. It needs to grow. You see, having the right foundation, which is Jesus Christ, now our confidence needs to grow. And so we see this in verse 9. The Bible says, "And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." You see, we grow. We grow in that knowledge. We grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we grow, our confidence becomes stronger. It becomes stronger. We were able to, let me ask you a question. Does anyone here work at Publix? Okay, I don't want to offend anyone. The funeral was this past week, and we wanted to do something for the family, so we had gone to Publix. And by the way, Publix has good food. Y'all are going to think I'm advertising. I advertised a one-stop one, not too many months ago. Now I'm advertising for Publix. But But they actually do have good chicken. A lot of times we'll get it here for events. But anyway, we had gone and we had ordered food. And we told them what time to have it ready because we were going after the graveside. I was going to go get it. Me and Marshall was going to go get it. And Darla was there at the fellowship hall helping the family, and we had it timed just right. We told them to have it ready at a quarter till three. And we actually got there we had about 3 or 4 minutes to spare. So we were in good shape, and we got there, and we waited a minute in line, and then we went up to the counter and said, we're here to pick up our food. And they said, what's your name? I gave them my name. And then they disappeared. And then I started watching my watch. And so they said, we're getting it ready in the back. And I thought, well, that's not too bad. And then we just kept going. And they didn't come. And Darla was here. And she was starting to panic. The family had already seen the people who had gone in to visit with them. And so we were still waiting. And so finally we went up, and I'm like, they said, well, we're just putting the, they said, go ahead and pay for it, and it'll be ready when you come back. So we went and paid for it, and I came back. And the point being is we were about, by the time they got it ready, I'll just put it this way. Darla was panicking so much, Marshall was given play-by-play with text as to which stoplight we were at on the way back. Because we felt bad for the family. We felt bad, and we felt bad over the whole situation. Now, the food was good. Everything was good. And the gentleman, he apologized. He said, I'm sorry we didn't have this ready. And we ran out. But point being, I now know that if we do this again, we need to figure 15 or 20 minutes before you're supposed to get it. And that's kind of how life is. You try something one time, And if it doesn't work out, you make adjustments. Well, when it's our confidence in Jesus Christ, we don't make adjustments. Amen. You see, He's real. And we can depend on Him. And as we grow in the Lord, the more we're going to love Him, the more we're going to appreciate what He's done, the more we grow, just like in verse 9, the more knowledge that we have, the more we're going to love Him more, the more we're going to grow in the Lord, the more we're going to understand just how wonderful He is, and the more we're going to appreciate it, and the more we're going to praise Jesus Christ for what was accomplished on the cross. When we hear songs just like we heard just a few moments ago, we can't help but be thankful for what He's done. You see, our confidence is in Him. So it begins with salvation. Our confidence continues to grow. And then also our confidence helps believers. And I want to read to you this verse because there's confusion in the scholar world. There's some confusion. And that is verse 12 of chapter 2. The Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And there's trouble when it comes to scholars, but I will tell you firsthand, that does not mean you're working out your salvation hoping you have it. That means that you're working out. It's an outward thing. In other words, your life changes and it shows in your life. So our confidence in the Lord, and it helps us work out our salvation. It helps us encourage others when they're struggling. It helps us when yes, we're having difficult, but we are managing to smile even though things are difficult in life. We are understanding what He's done for us and the hope that we have. And when things go bad, or when things go, as our pastor mentions, when things go south, we can still rejoice because our confidence in Him, and we can work out our salvation. We can share our salvation. You see, a believer shouldn't have ups and downs, but a believer should have the ins and outs. the ins and outs. As we take in, we share out. And that's what working out our salvation is. It doesn't mean you have to work it out and hope you have it. You've already got it if you know Jesus Christ. But you need to show it. Because I'll tell you, and I was reading a book that yesterday, I believe it was, last night, and it said this, and it was an old book. I've got several old books, and it said something like this. Satan's after your children. And that's that. The little article that I was reading said, Satan was after your children. That's why we need to work out our salvation. Our children needs to see the hope we have. Amen. Our children needs to understand, even though life becomes hard, and even though life is difficult, they don't need to see us in misery. They need to see us rejoicing. Because that's a testimony of what Jesus Christ. We know things are bad, and I would never say things aren't bad, but I can promise you, if you know Christ, things are going to get better. And that's what our children need to see. That's what our coworkers and our family and our loved ones and our neighbors, they need to see some rejoicing in us. Doesn't mean we're going to smile all the time, because you can put a smile on your face and it doesn't mean anything. They need to see the joy in our heart. They need to see the encouragement. And that's the confidence that we have. That's the confidence that we should have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And with this confidence, we can help others. We can help others. The Bible says in verse 14 of Philippians chapter 1, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see, Paul's life was a tremendous blessing, but it was also a tremendous struggle. Arrested, beaten, thrown in prison. But he never lost his confidence in the Lord. He never lost his confidence in the Lord. And you can rest assured, people were watching him. And people are watching us. They were watching his faith. They were watching his struggles. They saw his relationship in Jesus Christ. They saw his burden. They saw his love. And he was an example of what Christ can do in a life. He was an example of what Christ can do in a life. And then lastly this morning, and I don't know else to sum it up, but just this. Have confidence in the Lord. Have confidence in the Lord. The Bible says in verse 17 of chapter 2 here in Philippians, it says, ye, and if I be offended upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all, having confidence in the Lord. Paul offered himself a literal sacrifice to serve others. He sacrificed to serve others. He had joy. He had joy. He wanted the Philippian people to experience the same joy. But what kept him going? What kept him when he was in prison? What kept him going? I told you the story this morning of J. Vernon McGee, because we can be guilty of not living a life of confidence. You see, that story that I read about J. Vernon McGee was not from another author, but it was him himself. And he admitted he didn't understand that verse until that moment in time in his life, and it became his life verse. It became his life verse. Confidence in the Lord. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I think it's important for us to note this morning that it began. There has to be a beginning. There has to be a beginning. And that beginning comes in knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It comes by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I will admit to you, the moment that I got saved, my life changed. But I didn't understand a lot. Guess what? There's still a lot I don't understand. But I know now more than what I knew the day that I got saved. And I wished I could say that I've always done the right things, and I wished I could say I've made all the right choices and that everything was great. We're not. We're not going to always make the right choices. But I made one right choice, and that was accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That's when things begin. And if you know Jesus Christ, then we need to allow our confidence to build. And yes, things knock us down, and sometimes we feel like life's like you're sitting in a bumper car. But it's okay. If you know Jesus, we build on our confidence. I don't know what the need may be this morning, but I know our challenge this morning is this: being confident in the Lord. Life and life struggles, they're going to come. We're going to have disappointments. We're going to have difficulties. We're going to have struggles and heartaches and all those things. But if we're looking at Him, He'll help us through. He'll help us through. Let's pray this morning. Father, I pray that You'll help us as we evaluate our lives during this hour. Lord, in a lot of ways, when we have this invitation, it's a moment of truth. It should be a time that we're evaluating our life and where we are. It should be a time in our life that we're reflecting on what's been said. It should be a moment in our life to where we're just simply wondering. And if we have struggles, and if we have difficulties, an hour of decision, a moment of decision as we have this invitation. Father, we're all guilty, I believe, of maybe not putting our confidence in You the way that we should. And it's easy. You know our life. You know. You know our struggles. You know. Father, I pray that there'll be someone here that recommits their life that says, I'm going to put confidence in You no matter what. Just making a new commitment. Someone that's saved is just making a new commitment that I'm going to be committed and I'm going to have confidence in You no matter what comes my way. Father, if You've spoken to hearts, Lord, You know who that might be. Maybe it's several. I pray that they'll come, because we've been looking at other things and those things. And help us also, Lord, to understand that there's people watching us. There's people watching. Help them to see that confidence. Father, if there's someone that's never accepted Christ, Lord, just as Paul said, begins, it must begin in knowing Jesus Christ. So, Father, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ, that if they died this moment, they don't know where they would spend eternity, Lord, I pray that they'll come and receive Christ as our personal Savior. And for those that are watching online, Lord, the prayer goes for them as well. But, Father, I pray that You'll bless this invitation. And if You've spoken to heart, will they come forward? For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.